Our gospel reading today keeps us in the Gospel of Matthew, again, listening to parables that Jesus shared with his followers and the crowds around him. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. A kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading is a psalm of praise and confidence in all that the Lord has done in the past and the continued faithfulness of God into the future. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered, O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, one of the things that can be difficult about believing in God at times is explaining our belief and why we believe to others. Someone may ask you how your life is different or why you believe. How can you believe when so many bad things also happen? And at some point in answering these questions, we hit the limits of earthly language to capture the reality of God's kingdom, or to fully describe that which ultimately is beyond words. So we often use ordinary things we can talk about to refer to the holy, and we hope that the hearer can make the connection. Believing in God, the Creator, Son, and Spirit, it's like coming home. Or it's like being born again, or it's like being surprised, finding a blessing. It's like falling in love. It's like being struck by lightning. This is what faith is like. Don't you get it? I remember high school English class where the topic was metaphors, getting the meaning of one thing by comparing it to another. And when the comparisons catch us by surprise, our everyday understanding of things can be broken open, and we are invited to explore them all over again, to go inside of them and see what new understandings arise. And that's so often what Jesus did with his parables. In all the Gospels, but particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is always making comparisons in his parables. Sinners are like lost sheep. The word of God is like seed sown on different kinds of ground. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. God is like a vineyard owner. The kingdom of heaven is like this, he said over and over. And listeners heard about sheep and shepherds, brides and grooms, wheat and weeds. I'm sure the disciples sometimes ask why Jesus spoke this way. Can't you be a little bit clearer about things, Lord? I mean, after all, if anyone was qualified to speak directly about God and the nature of these things, it was the living Word of God who had been present at creation and was now born into the world. And yet he often spoke indirectly, making surprising comparisons between holy things and ordinary things. He broke open everyday understandings of life, inviting his listeners to explore them more deeply. Today's reading has a volley of such comparisons, didn't it? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, like yeast, a buried treasure, a fine pearl, a net cast into the sea. These parables and comparisons come quickly, like somebody swiping through their photographs on the phone, thinking that you'll catch every one of them and see why you like the picture. It's like Jesus wants us to be dazzled by the number and variety of things that the kingdom of heaven is like. The first two comparisons seem easy enough, don't they? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed or yeast. Nothing much to look at first, but give them something to work on. Sow the seed, mix the yeast with flour, and the results can be astonishing. A tree big enough for nesting birds, bread enough to feed a household. The kingdom of heaven is like that, then it is surprising, it is powerful, and there is more than meets the eye when we first see it. And then Jesus moves into more complicated comparisons, but that, you know, take advantage of things people are used to. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a buried treasure, reburies it, and puts everything he has into buying the field. He is a poor man who became rich by luck. Secondly, the kingdom is like a merchant who searched for and found a pearl of great value and put all he had into buying it. Here is a rich man who became richer through his business skill. But poor or rich, lucky or skilled, each finds something of great value and puts all he has into making it his own. Each finds something that makes everything else he owns seem trivial. And if the kingdom is like that, and Jesus says it is rare but attainable for those who are eager to pony up the price. That final comparison today of the fishing net takes a different approach. Thrown into the sea, the net gathers fish of every kind, good and bad, together, which are sorted once the net is full. If the kingdom is like that, then it is not in the end something we find, but something that grabs us and gathers us into the light. It says, wait, Don't make judgments prematurely. Leave it for God in the end. Now, all this, I'm sure, was a lot for Jesus' listeners to digest in one sitting. I don't think they did. At the end of our reading today, Jesus asked, "Do you understand?" The scripture past this point goes on, and the disciples said, "Oh, yeah, we get it. All right, we get it all," which I'm sure made Jesus' day and set him laughing. The striking thing about all the images is their sense of hiddenness. Mustard seeds hidden in the soil, yeast hidden in the flour, a treasure hidden in the field, a pearl hidden among other pearls, a net hidden for a while in the depths of the sea. If the kingdom of heaven is like these, and hiddenness is a characteristic, it's not readily apparent at first. It's something below the surface waiting to be discovered and claimed. It takes effort on our part as well to be able to see it, find it, and be part of it. I mean, this is the stuff of Indiana Jones movies. You know, hidden treasures, secret knowledge, long-lost powerful talismans and pearls found, claimed, and celebrated. And Jesus says, this is what the kingdom is like. Whether it begins as a small seed or a treasure hidden in the dirt, the kingdom comes when it is no longer hidden, when the tree is grown, the treasure chest is opened, when what was secret is known and what was below the surface is brought up for all to see. All these metaphors are fine. Parables about seeds and yeast and fields and nets, you know, are about things people experienced in their daily lives, and I'm sure that it made the stories Jesus told interesting. But when it comes right down to finding the honest-to-goodness kingdom of heaven, where are we now supposed to start? A first impulse would be to say, well, let's start in some place already connected to the holy. You know, maybe a long-standing church full of beauty. Maybe it means going and learning Hebrew and Greek and translating Bible texts yourselves. Maybe it means finding someone like Mother Teresa tending to the sick and dying. Maybe it means taking a guided trip to the Holy Land. But then again, it may not matter where we are as long as we keep our eyes open, watching for extraordinary clues for God's love and Christ's grace wherever we are, alert to heavenly visions, listening for heavenly voices, because if the kingdom of heaven is hidden in this world, you have to admit, there are times it seems hidden pretty well, doesn't it? There's not much heavenly about good portions of the nightly news, not much that seems heavenly about the behavior of some other drivers on the road. Surely it would take the most dedicated spiritual detectives among us to stand a chance of finding a sign of the kingdom, wouldn't it? Unless God has resorted to one of the oldest ploys in the book and hidden the kingdom in plain view. Perhaps one point of these parables using everyday images is that we can look to our day-to-day lives in ordinary circumstances. Think about it. Jesus' first proclamation and sermon, as recorded in Mark, is to repent, turn Godward, because the kingdom is at hand in him. In Jesus, the kingdom is breaking into this world already. We don't have to die to begin living as citizens of God's kingdom. We do it when we follow other parts of Jesus' teachings, when we love God, when we love neighbor, when we have our eyes open to the kinds of blessings the psalm we read today lifts up and says, this is part of our history. finding the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. The kingdom of heaven mixed into the hum, drum, and ho-hum of life. It can be like receiving an unexpected kindness from someone. It may be seeing a child smile upon waking and seeing that you are there. It may be the joy of helping others. It may be the joy of help that comes to us when we need it and weren't sure where it was going to come from. It may be in a thunderstorm that breaks the grip of hot, high humidity. All are these things are clues to the holiness hidden in the midst of our ordinary days. And Jesus knew this all along. You know, it didn't surprise him being the Son of God and all. And why else would he talk about the kingdom of heaven in terms of familiar and terms like farmer and fields, women baking, fishermen lowering their nets? Jesus, I believe, wanted to be somehow telling us that the kingdom of heaven has to do with what we can see happening in all of these things. And in Jesus, the power of the kingdom has broken into our world, our here and now, in ordinary people, places, and activities. Jesus didn't come to teach us how to be ready to enter heaven and the kingdom of heaven after we die. Jesus came and began and taught us on how to begin like to act like citizens of the kingdom of heaven now before its fullness comes to us. To speak of the heavenly, let's then be like Jesus. We start with speaking of earthly things where we have felt the touch of God. To describe that which is beyond words, we start with words we know like man, woman, seed, yeast, tree, bread, pearl net, sea, and joy. The kingdom of heaven is like these things. These are the places to dig for the kingdom of heaven. These are the places to look for the will and rule and presence of our Lord. If we cannot find them here, we won't find them anywhere else. Earth is where the seeds of heaven are sown, have been sown, will be sown, and the harvest and treasure are worth seeking and having. Amen.